The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hear God's holy word as it is recorded in Acts chapter 17. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown god. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' At that, Paul left the council." Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Let us look to him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us look at him with faith and strengthen our faith in him through your Holy Spirit. Pour him out richly into our hearts, now and evermore, that we will praise him, now and always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are now in week 4 after Easter. Last Sunday was called Jubilate, rejoice. This reflects the first line of the introit, Jubilate Deo omnis terra. Shout with joy to God, all the earth, from Psalm 66. That fits right into this joyful Easter tide. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. For our Lord lives, and we shall live also. Therefore, the abundance of hallelujahs in the liturgy right now. The watchword for this fourth Sunday in Easter is from 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That cements and elaborates the joyful Easter theme. From this jubilant background, we look at today's reading from Acts and hear of God's new creation. Jesus Christ, the firstborn. He and his victorious resurrection are the very reason that we've got a living hope. Not a false, vain hope on something empty and never to be fulfilled, empty words, but rather a living hope that we're not caught up in the old, past and finished, but that we have a glorious future in Christ and his holy Christian church, and therefore have all reason to rejoice, to be jubilant and joyful. Jubilate, jubilate Deo omnis terra. You too. Every day here at the seminary should think of this again and again. The living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created heaven and earth. That's the first creation. He's the maker of all people too. The potter, the carpenter, the artisan, husbandman and true father, all titles of our God. Let me repeat them for your advantage. The potter, the carpenter, the artisan, husbandman, and true father. We folks all descend from the first human being, that husband and wife in paradise called Adam and Eve. And he recognizes her and says, oh, lovely, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, at least I've got a real partner now and not just one of the beasts, the dog and the bear and the wolf, etc. Doesn't matter whether we live in Africa, Australia, or the Americas. As we read, God himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. If all was easy and transparent, we all, from the various different races, nations, tribes, and families, could trace our origin to this one forebear and first ancestor straight from paradise. This godly descendants gives reason to rejoice. It's a wonderful, proud, and magnificent line. So jubilate, it's good reason to be grateful and full of confidence, for we are his offspring. You too. Think about that. Sadly, our pedigree and genealogy is not so easily discernible for us. And not only Mokopanele suckles with his eyes, we all do. It gets lost in the hazy past. Due to our sinfulness, our faithlessness, doubt and skepticism, we miss the point of where we come from. Since our fall into sin, we have lost rightful memories. We get lost in all false and bad and sick memories. We got lost on the way and can't find our way back without help from God and his Holy Spirit. That's why some even speculate they, and I assume mostly they assume it of others, originate from monkeys. Others climbed out of the reeds in the marshes. Others out of the Antip. I mean, I'm sure you've heard even more bizarre myths and legends. Yet, instructed by God's holy word, we trust that we've got but one forebear, Adam, the first Adam, who was created by God. He's our earthly father, the ancestor of all, the first in line of human beings with red blood pumping in his veins, godly breath, which now also fills our lungs, and a soul that seeks, or at least should seek, and need the triune God to find true fulfillment, full life, real peace. God created them in the beginning. He created them man and wife, Adam and Eve. This godly origin of our parents and our common family heritage and genealogy makes us brothers and sisters of the same flesh and blood, bone and soul mates. And despite all the particularities and specialities of races and tribes, the similarities and commonalities between them are sheer endless and overwhelming if compared with other species like gorillas or orangutans, which are supposed to be quite like us. They, however, remain beasts. It's very clear if you watch them. While we are human, after all. No reason to have a superiority complex on grounds of our race or backgrounds, nor an inferiority complex either. The Jews thought they were more religious than others. The others, but damned goyim. The Greeks prided themselves of their wisdom and looked down on all others as barbarians. They thought they were the best at designing and their skillfulness, etc. Some so-called abelumu or lechoa despise so-called non-whites, and sometimes the opposite is also true. When I go to Swaziland or up in the Lesotho Mountains, that's what I get called, and I find, how is this time not past yet? Is that not past? Do we still teach our children that that's what they are? I find it very troublesome, really. Because truth be told, what do we have that we have not received? Nothing, really. We came into this world with empty hands and it was given to us. God is the creator and giver of all good things. He made heaven and earth, plus he created me perfectly in his sight, just out of fatherly goodness, godly goodwill, and tender mercies of a loving, caring, and preserving father, even if it might look less in your eyes and worthless even in others. Therefore, look at yourself from God's perspective, like Psalm 139 teaches us. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Yes. And therefore, sing praises to the Lord. Jubilate omnes Deo terra et soli Deo gloria. He knew what he was doing, even if we sometimes don't get it. God created us in this wonderful and marvelous way of his so that we people should seek and reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets say, we are his offspring. That's our God-given inner compass, our orientation, created in us, our natural being, his election, calling, and given purpose, to seek him, to reach out for him, to find him, to live, move, and have all our being in, with, and through him. That's our destiny. Giving thanks to God, praising, serving, obeying him, and living in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives, following our callings, doing our work, going about our business and livelihood, jubilate. As Johann Hermann teaches us, give me the strength to do with ready heart and willing, whatever you command, my calling here fulfilling. Help me do what I should with all my might and bless the outcome for my good, for you must give success. Because there is but one creator and we are all his creatures, we should love, fear and trust him alone and make no idol, effigy or image of creatures to worship, praise and pray to, neither up in the sky nor down on earth or even below the earth either. It's God's good, holy, and just will that this be recognized, followed, and obeyed by everyone. Just as we don't recognize our brother, Cain did not recognize Abel, Joseph's brother sold him into slavery, Jesus' closest brothers and friends betrayed and denied him, we also call things God which are not God. It shows our warped and wrong ways of doing things. Idolatry is not just a slight infraction or a minor misdemeanor, but rather the great temptation and worst felony and trespass in God's book. If we trust and hope more in others and other things than in him, don't love and fear him above all else, then we reject him, rebel against his holy ways, lose our calling, goal and purpose in life, and start drifting around orientation, without orientation and without finding peace, fulfillment. Sadly, after the fall, we are no longer positively inclined towards God. We could call it skew, queer, off track. because we draw away from God, seek other wrongful goals and gods. John Calvin writes, "The human mind is a perpetual forge of idols." Think of it. Man in this sinful state remains surprisingly creative, skillful, and full of opportunistic designs, doing whatever he wants, wrong and false it may be. It's those pieces of wood the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah ridicule. Like a scarecrow, they say, in a cucumber field, their idols don't speak. They must be carried around because they can't walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. And you know Elijah, my old favorite, who says, "Shout louder, surely your God is a God." Perhaps he's deep in thought. You must wake him up. Or he's busy. Or he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping. Or he's using the toilet. Yes, that is what Elijah says, poking fun at these idols which are keeping people in fear. Not even covered with precious metals or stones do they gain wisdom or power. Just look at the Hindu temple. We might laugh at these ancient ways of sinful man, but secular man is not much better today. He trusts in technical innovation. We can, he thinks, without God. We can do it by our own design and skill, by our own financial prowess, or just because he trusts in himself as invincible master of the universe. Be that in the hero cult of the healthy body, some naked Barbie doll, crafty Superman, or just the old but ever tempting idol Herrenmensch, an egocentric obsession. Now the Apostle St. Paul continues, "In the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed." Idolatry is ignorance. It is misleading. It's not just another way to roam and get to the ultimate destiny. It puts all those that trust in these false gods, effigies, and idols to shame, and finally condemns. Therefore, repentance is called for. Conversion. Turn around. Don't go into destruction. Come to life is the invitation. Giving up the old, bad, and godless ways. Leaving the old behind. It's past. Don't continue limping on two sides, but rather follow God's holy, righteous, and just ways only, completely, and with a pure heart, living God-pleasing and faithful lives as Christians. Now, our problem is that we can't do this, but God has done it in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And baptism is his way to do this rebirth, this new birth. How can man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? With man it is impossible, but through water and the Holy Spirit, God's given means, it is indeed possible, this new creation. Be baptized, all the sins washed away, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all iniquity and sin. This baptism is the second creation and another wonderful reason to rejoice. Jubilate! Jubilate, jubilate. There God has given rebirth, a new birth through water and the Holy Spirit. Yes, Because God so wills it. This new life, this new creation, this new beginning in righteousness and holiness. You who have been baptized, live what you are as a baptized Christian. And don't be captive to sin. Don't use this as a cover or blanket for sin, but rather live in the grace bestowed to you by God through this very efficacious means, holy baptism. If you do fall into sin, crawl back into your baptism. Confess your sins to each other. Have them forgiven. Don't let them rule. Draw them to light and throw them away. Let Jesus Christ take them away for good and grant you a clean conscience by his grace and favor. For there is a final judgment coming, and he, the living God, will judge the living and the dead impartially and with eternal consequence. Therefore, don't fool around with sin. Don't excuse it lightly. Don't do as if it is something which you can't change anyway. Get rid of it. Don't let it rule, because it's part of the past. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, we've overcome that. See, Jesus is alive, and you shall live also. He conquered sin, death, and evil, and the devil too. He rose victoriously from the grave. Sin, death, and devil, and even hell's portals can't and couldn't hold onto him. All authority, all of it, in heaven and on earth, are his now. The evil powers, spirits, and authorities are disempowered by Christ our Lord. Now he lives and reigns at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. He lives and rules mightily for us and our salvation. Nobody can push him aside, overthrow his kingdom, or cast a shadow on his glory. He's very much alive. Heaven and earth will go up in fire. Yes, the old creation will fall away. It will no longer be remembered. But God is planning a new heaven and earth. That's another wonderful creation of his. It's still outstanding, but in Jesus Christ it has already begun. And you are also already part of the new creation through baptism. You are also now flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. His spirit is in yours too, in you too. Yes, his. You are his, and he is yours. Therefore, put all your trust in him and his means of grace, for he cleans, rids, and liberates you of all your sins with his almighty proclamation and gracious absolution in word and sacrament. For you are no longer subject, enslaved, and bound by the evil schemes and evil chains of the devil and his ilk, the spirits in the sky, on the earth, or below the earth. No, you are free, truly, really, indeed, through the washing of the Holy Spirit and the baptismal waters, free to live the new life now already as holy saints and forgiven sinners in the holy Christian congregation and church family of God. You are free to serve your Lord in blessedness and righteousness all the days of your life. Jubilate, jubilate, jubilate now and always. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. And don't forget, jubilate. Amen.